time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today as we continue the book and study in the book of Acts. And so it's Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We got down to the fourth verse, and we're going to enjoy the study. So please, as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there. Please look at them and enjoy them. Our plan of salvation is presently there through the Lord Jesus makes it so clear, and we've did it on a to write it out so you can study it, look up the verses of Scripture to see that it's scripturally correct, and also that it's verbally, you can hear it if you'd like to. And also our Constitution, Church Constitution, is there. And God's plan of salvation, His gospel, is so clear, and so pleased that you would study it and trust it. And you can always find all those things there. And so pleased that you would do that, that it would help you to come to know the Lord Jesus and grow in the Lord Jesus. And if you'd like to send us an email at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com would be just great. Hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and begin the study. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? Pathanians, the Medes, Elamites, and the dwelling in Mesopotamia, and in Judah, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so we're going to stop with that 18th verse there. We won't get near that far today, but it is sure a wonderful text and scripture to read. And so let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come and to read your precious word, proclaim your precious word. And I ask, Father, that the words that are spoken today would be very clear, that all will understand, and that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior and begin to walk with you each and every day. Please, dear Lord, please guide and lead us today through your precious word. We must have your presence, and we know the Holy Spirit is in the heart of every believer, Father, but we need your direction as we study, and so please guide and lead us with your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for this great day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look to these precious scriptures, we have gotten ourselves down. We have talked about the appeared unto them in cloven tongues like as a fire that sat upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now we're going to look at that very clearly, because that other tongues is a dialect. That is a language that is understood, not for the lack of another word, just the gibberish today that is spoken, because there's only one that is glorified through the tongues today, and that is the person that's doing it. There's nothing gained, and we're going to spend a lot of time today looking at this, because I want it to be out in front. I want people to understand what the purpose was of the tongues. At Pentecost, the purpose of the tongues was to get out the gospel to all these folks. We read all of the different ones, and I believe there are 16, if I remember right, 16 different countries that was represented in Jerusalem that day. And each and every one of them heard their tongue, their language, their what they understood in their own dialect, completely perfect. So as the gospel was presented, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, salvation through the Lord Jesus, you repent, you turn to Jesus today, that gospel was presented so clearly that every single person heard it and understood it. And that is the only purpose of the tongues here. And we're going to talk about what went on in the church of Corinth a little bit later. But that kind of gets you started right there. And so as we were looking at this here and enjoying this, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled denotes that all that the person got everything. You get the person of the Holy Spirit. Some people believe that you have to continue to pray to be filled, to have the Holy Spirit. You get part of it, and then part of it, and then part of it. No, you got all the Holy Spirit. The only thing that has to happen in your life is you need to surrender to Him. Give Him His will. What He wants for you is the best, and so surrender to His will. And that's the reason that some people are very powerful and very excited about giving out the Word of God, living a godly life, and others are not, is because they will not surrender to the Spirit that lives within them after you have called upon the Lord Jesus. Once again, as I give the gospel each and every time we do a program, every single time, we take a look at the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it comes, He calls, John the Baptist calls for, Jesus calls, repentance, repent. And repent means to turn. Repent means to acknowledge, realizing you're a sinner, you're lost, and you need Jesus. And that is something that when that happens, you will never forget that time. You will never forget that opportunity that came to you when the Holy Spirit came and knocked on your heart's door and said, please, please repent. Please turn to Jesus, because that's the purpose and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So please that you would do that today. Do not tell me, do not tell anyone that I have always believed, because that's not correct, my dear friend. That's not correct to always believe. Yes, I was the same way. I always believed, but I never knew the Lord Jesus. And there's literally 18 inches between knowing in your mind and believing in your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, but you have to not only confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. There's the next section that people do not do today. That's when the Holy Spirit comes in. That's when you recognize you're a sinner, and that's when you accept Jesus as your Savior. So please, please accept the Holy Spirit today, that He will come and guide you and give you the influence and the power that He desires to give you. And as the Spirit gave them utterance, the Scripture says here. So as let's take a look now, and as we have in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was direct from the Spirit of God. Now let's look at some verses of Scripture here. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Corinthians, because the church of Corinth dealt with this. And so let's look at some things here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And so understand, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The joy of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that joy here at Parkview. We have a joy of fellowship. Those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come and we fellowship over the Word of God, and there is no contention, there is no arguments, there is no division. It is one precious unit that we have today, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit that abides within the believers. And you need to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You need to call upon Him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because this all kind of leads to it. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. For it hath been declared unto me, Paul is speaking here, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there is contention among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What's the matter with you people? What happened was, Paulus was a good preacher. Paul was a good preacher. Cephas was a good preacher. But they were all preaching of Christ, but people began to follow the man. They were not following the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want people to follow me here at the church. I want them to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my purpose. That's what I'm here for, to teach you the Word of God so that you can follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But what was happening, there was a beginning to have a division among them, and there was contention, as the Scripture says here. And now as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Carnal. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we understand that they were dividing themselves. They were not seeking the will of the Holy Spirit. One was following one man, one was following another. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. But brethren, doth a law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. All right, let me help you with this one. What this was, there was a dissension in the church. And instead of dealing with it in the church as they should have, they took it out to the public. They took it to the courthouse, so to speak, to deal with the problem that was within the church. They should never have done that. You don't take your dirty laundry and hang it out on the wall, on the line. We should never do that. We should always take care of the problem that's within the church. Now, and so here, that's what the problem was and what they were dealing with as we look at that. And then we can even go a little further here, because we find even with the Lord's Supper, they had an issue. Because if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, another is drunken. And what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And let's go down to verse 30 and through 34. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that he should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And rest will I set in order. The rest will I set in order when I come to you. Now, even Paul rebuked the people. That doesn't mean that they weren't saved, because in most cases they were saved, but they were not following after the Lord Jesus. They were following after man. Now, we're going to go back here to Acts, but we're going to go all the way to the 18th chapter, verse 8. Chapter 18, verse 8. And then it is important, because what takes place, and that is that we begin to see results. And we can back up here and start with verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his garment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into the certain house. A man's name was Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And here in verse 8 now, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And so you see, we do have many that were saved in Corinth, and this would be, of course, Gentiles that had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had division once again each time. Now, as we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, We have so many verses of Scripture here to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit, chapter 6, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, and effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When we read through this, we understand once again that there are people here that are saved. But the problem is that being one body, believers baptized with the Holy Spirit and united into one body, the New Testament church, which is the body of Christ. Now, the human body is not this body here is not an organization. It is an organism with many members. We have, you know, as a physical body, we have many members. We have, you know, feet and eyes and ears and hands and legs and all those things. And the church is as well a living organism. It's not an organization. And the church in so many cases is run like a business, like an organization. And there becomes the problem with so many today, because they get involved in everything. They get involved with the food and the clothing and the business part of it, and they miss the whole purpose. And our purpose as a church, as a living organism, is to take out the Word of God, period. Now, if someone within your church sees a need of someone that's hungry or needs food or clothing, and you're burdened to do that, which we should be, then we take care of it personally, not as a church, not as an organization. We're a living organism. It's a joy to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. What a joy. What a joy to look at this. Now, let's come back to Acts here. And we're going to spend a little bit more time concerning the tongues. Because we found here that we were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. The day we are born again, the Spirit of God comes. He came. Pentecost was one date, one movement, one time, as was set the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, as was set the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that was set before the foundation of the world, and as was the word Pentecost is 50. And so on that day, it was set. And this time for the coming of the Holy Spirit was set, as was the crucifixion. And yes, we have those that were in the upper room. And yes, we read that they were with one accord. They were all together. That's fine. But if they weren't all together, it would still come to pass, because that day was set, that the Holy Spirit would come. The Lord Jesus, when he left, said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And that time was set. The Comforter has come, and he is here. And so when you trust in him, when you call upon him, he comes and lives within your heart. What a joy. What a joy to have that take place. But this event, there's not a Pentecostal event that takes place every time someone's saved. No, because this was something that took place on this day, on this time, set by God, and it come to pass. And so that is the event we're looking at right here. And so with that then came the other tongues. Now, we have this event. It's never taken place again. There was appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of by fire. We've spent time there. And it sat upon each one of them. That was a one-time event that was scheduled before the foundation of the world. And it took place on that day. Never takes place again. Never takes place again. And when you think that if you hear somebody speak of that Pentecostal and they begin to speak in tongues in a language you don't understand, did you see the tongues? Did you hear the wind? Did those things come? Because that's the connection with the Pentecost, with Pentecost that day. And so, once again, we're going to spend quite a bit of time here with this, and we're going to run out of time, but we're going to get started with it. Let's go back once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now there's some things that's going on here in the Corinth church. I want you to understand that the only place in God's word that we have the unknown tongue, the tongues as they speak it, is in the Corinth. That's the only place. Not a word spoken in any other of the epistles about the tongues. So we need to understand here, because so many people are involved with this, and they think that it's important and it's proof of being filled with the Spirit, and it's not. It's not. To have proof of being filled with the Spirit, let me tell you what that is. That's possessing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is being filled with the Spirit. You have all the Spirit, but to be controlled by the Spirit, that is how you'll act. Got nothing to do with the tongues. Paul's words were not words of encouragement, but words of abuse of this gift. Notice that the Corinth church was the weakest, most worldly, carnal church that Paul planted, that was of the churches. This was the worst. Their spiritual knowledge was the lowest of all the churches. Paul spent most of his time correcting the confusion and disorder in this church. Does that show you? Again, the tongues was no place else except for in this liberal, messed up church. Does that show you how important it is? Why Corinth and not in Ephesus and Colossae and Philippi, those good churches? Why wasn't it used there? Why wasn't it present there? Why Corinth? The answer is this. They were immature, many unbelievers, the carnality of that church, and the ignorance of the Word of God. That's why you had it in Corinth. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is where we're going to find what they should have been doing. And then he gets into chapter 14 in the problem of it. And so next time we get together, we're going to start you know, back in Acts, of course, because that's where we're at. But you need to understand this. You need to understand it. And so we're going to start and deal with 1 Corinthians 13. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?